Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we spend some time, you know, listening to God's word. We pray that we will have a heart of obedience too, and that we will persevere in our walk with Christ. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is alive and gives us life. Father, we do not want to be just hearers of your word, O God, but we want to be doers of your word. I want to pray for myself, O God, be with me as I bring your word. I need your presence, O God. I need your guidance. I need your strength from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think some of you will be aware that, you know, there is a game that's happening in Toronto, right? Prince Harry is here. I mean, to say he's not here in our church today, but he's here in Toronto for the wounded soldiers. And I think some of us like sports. You know, we like to see things happening. We like to be involved in some kind of, you know, running race or even, you know, some kind of activities. We want to be involved, right? We want to be just running the race and all that. And the passage which I've taken today, you know, last week we were looking at the topic called commitment, right? Christian commitment. I think we are called to be committed. You know, that's one thing that many of us struggle, right, when we come in terms of commitment. We want to be committed. You know, we want to be faithful in the things that, you know, and it matters a lot to God. Not only commitment, I think it is about Christian perseverance, right? Yes, I'm committed, but I want to persevere, right? I don't want to just, you know, say that I'm committed, but without perseverance. I think it's important for us to stay in the lane. So when I look at this particular word, perseverance, Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, run the race with perseverance. In some versions you will see, right, with patience, right? In other words, Paul is saying, you need to persist. You need to have that idea, that goal, that I want to persevere. It's not only I'm committed to this race, but I want to run with a lot of perseverance. You know, one of the reasons I put this title, Stay in Your Lane, because many a times what happens, I think, God, you know, we draw our own lane, right? We live in an age and society or even culture, you know, we think that we are the gods of our life. This is my life and this is the way I live, right? I do what I want because that's the culture that we live in. And sometimes, you know, and it's so sad. But when you look at the Christian teaching, if you realize, it's totally different. You know, God as a lane. And God wants us to run a race in the way that He wants us to run. And, you know, the way is mentioned very clearly in God's word, right? It is not Christian life cannot be lived in the way that I want, right? No, this is how I define Christian life, and this is the way I'm going to live my Christian life. No, my friends, that's not the way. We need to be running the way it has been assigned to us. In other words, there are two meanings here. It means this is the way that God wants me to run my race. We talk about Christian disciplines, right? About disciplines and values, right? Reading God's word, engaging ourselves in God's word, this is the way. And God also has assigned a way for us to run. And it's important for us, you know, to stay in your lane. Now, many a times, I think some of you might be running short distance. If you run short distance, you're always expected to be staying in your lane. But if you're running a long distance, right, they don't care. But when I look at it, you know, God wants us, you know, to be just running the race of life, keeping to our lane, right? Not being busybody what's happening in the lives of others. Yes, we need to be there encouraging them, empowering them, but we need to be running the race in our lane that is assigned to us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we will just look at some of the things that God, you know, I said, just to give you a background, you know, about Hebrews. Hebrews is a very powerful letter that was written, right? And I know one of our small group is studying Hebrews. It's a very theological book. It's a book about faith. It's a book about doctrine. And one of the things that always surfaces in Hebrews is the word consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Just consider Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And so, the writer of this Hebrews, or in this particular passage, he's saying that, you know, we need to be running the race with perseverance. Yes, we are committed. We talk about Christian commitment, as I said, but we need to persevere, the endurance to persist in an idea, purpose, or task despite obstacles, right? You need to persevere. It's more of a long-distance marathon than a short sprint. It also says, by wine, right, it says persevere involves persistence in well-doing, fruit-bearing, and running the appointed rate despite trials and distraction. It's not just running the race. It's not just persevering, my friend. But as we persevere, we are bearing fruits for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We are doing things that God wants us to do, right? Despite the struggles, the distractions that come along our path. Let me tell you, today we live in a world, age, and time, there's a lot of distractions, a lot of entertainment, a lot of things that brings us away from loving God. But I think we need to be living a life, not just running, but running in a way, you know, in the lane that God has given to us, according to God's word, at the same time, bearing fruits and all that. Charles Spurgeon said, right, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Can you imagine? The snail would have said, you know, wow, the tiger has gone in front of me. There's no way I can catch before the door closes. Noah might close the door, but, you know, the snail also reached because of perseverance. He could have seen almost everyone is there, but I will still run. I'm small, right? My pace is not big. I cannot be like even like the frog that actually jumps, right? But I will still persevere. How do we do that? In the Christian life, let me tell you, you know, there are, the Bible is a wonderful book, because I think it talks to us a lot. It talks to us a lot. How do we persevere? How do we, can we stay in our lane that we can keep running despite the challenges and obstacles? I know some parents are here. You always tell your kids, right, persevere. Don't give up, right? Just run. There will be obstacles. There will be distractions. You know, there will be peer pressure along the way. The desires of this world are plenty, but persevere, because there is a goal that God wants you to reach in life. And so, and Paul also speaks about it. Firstly, I think in when you talk about Christian life, he says, one of the first things that he says, you know, we need to build our faith. If you look at the word in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he starts by using the word therefore, right? And he puts a comma, right? In other words, if you look at it very carefully, Paul is saying, therefore, you know, in other words, whatever I've written to you, in other words, if you look at chapter 11, he is talking about faith entirely, by faith, right? Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah. So he's talking about faith, about Abraham. He's talking about faith, faith, faith. So that's why he says, therefore, whatever you have heard me say in chapter 11, right? He says, since, in other words, Paul is saying, you know, therefore, faith is important. Faith was the one who led Abraham. Faith was the one who guided Enoch, right, who walked with God. It was because of faith, you know, Abel's offering was accepted in the sight of God. And so, therefore, he says, you too need to build your faith. He's actually inviting us, calling us, to build our faith as we run the race. Yes, all of us are running the faith. As we are running our lives, are we building our faith? It's interesting, right? We can run the race. We can just run our Christian life without just building our faith. But Christian life is not just running. But I think, why do we read God's word? But because we want to build our faith. Why do we pray? Because we want to have a dependence on God. We want to be trusting God at all moments, not because it's something that is expected in my life. Is my prayer life building my faith? Is my reading of scriptures building my faith? Is my coming to church building my faith? Is my testimony building my faith? It's not, I'm doing because I'm told to do. I do this because it builds my faith, my friend. Abel gave not because he was asked to give, he gave because it was God, he wanted to please God. That's all. Yes, I had my struggles, but I still give. It was an act of worship by Abel, right? Abraham could have easily said, Lord, not me, but he went because he knew, Lord, I have plenty in my life. Probably I don't need a son. Why do you want me to go? But it's all because he wants to build that faith, my friend. And so we need to build the faith. And so what is happening here? You know, if you look at the word, it says, look at these people, right? It says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Right? The word, I use the word martyrs because martyrs means one who testifies, not just one who gives their life. You know, people who testify. He says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. It doesn't mean that they're actually looking from heaven and looking at us. It doesn't mean like that. Right? In other words, he says, we need to be mindful of the great examples. That's why we read about Abraham. Why should I be studying about Abraham? I do not know him. I'm not related to him in any way. Why should I be studying about Moses? Right? His life is different. His time is different. His environment was different. But I think what the writer is trying to tell us, you know, we need to be just thinking of the examples. Think of these people. Right? They had their own struggles, but they still ran. Abel still gave. His brother was just not, you know, not happily giving, but Abel gave. And so what's happening? Moses could have even said, Lord, not me. Because, you know, I've killed someone. I'm not going to Egypt to release your people. Right? So in other words, you know, we build our faith by reading, by learning about the great people in the Bible, my friend. It's not just a story. Right? Why do I read? Because I want to see the faith in them. I want to see the commitment in them. I want to see the fear in them, you know, for God, the obedience to God's word. That's why, that's what, you know, we read, we learn in the Sunday school, right, in kids' program, or whatever program, right, everywhere. And so that's what, you know, the writer is saying, just remember the martyrs. They are the witnesses, you know, that we learn. And they're the great models for us. On the same note, I think when the writer says, in other words, the writer is also telling us, be mindful that you're not alone. Right? You're not alone. They too had a race, right? They too had their struggles. They too had their difficulties, but they still ran. So you're not alone. You cannot say, you know, Pastor, my Christian life is a struggle. My Christian life is impossible. Lord, no, Pastor, my life is totally different from others. No, my friend, right? We are not alone. They had their share of problems, probably much more worse than us. Their times were much more difficult. Can you imagine Moses going back to his country to release the people who are not willing to listen to him at all? Who are you, Moses? Why should we be listening to you? So he tells us, I think, we are not alone, right? We are not alone. So to be persevere, my friend, to run the race, you know, we are not alone, right? And everyone have ran the race or running the race. And so we are to run the race that is before us. So we need to remember. So that's the reason, right? We study biblical characters and all that. Secondly, he talks about, he says, and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I was looking at the word very carefully, right? In other words, he uses the word, let us throw away everything that hinders. In certain versions, you'll read the word weight, right? The weights. At the same time, he talks about sin. Now, what's the difference between the weights and the sin, right? There are some differences here. When Paul uses, I do not know whether it's Paul who wrote this writing, right? When the writer wrote this, the weights are, you know, used by the athletes in those days. What they do when they run the race, they have weights around their body, right? And so if they want to build up their leg muscles, they have weights here, and they'll run. That is during their training. But on the actual day, they will remove all these weights, and they will be much more faster in terms of their run and all that. Let me tell you, they are good, they are helpful, but there are times you need to take that away. For example, we are living in a world called, right, it's a music culture world. It's a media world. It's a music world. It's a celebrity world. And I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to music. I'm not saying it's wrong to have all this social media entertainment. I'm not saying it's wrong. But if it hinders my faith, then I need to look at it carefully. The weights are important for them to train. It's to know what's happening, right? But if it hinders my journey, if it hinders my devotional life, if it hinders me from coming to church, if it hinders, you know, me loving God, then I need to throw that away, my friend. I need to restrict myself. And that's what I think when I see in terms of application, right? Social media is good, right? But if we are addicted to it, we have a problem because it hinders us in our journey. It hinders us from building our faith, right? And that's what the writer is saying. So we need to be careful. And sometimes it can also be the baggage of the past, right? It is still there. It is still there, my friend. We need to let go. We need to let go the past because, you know, God has taken care. And we need to move on. If not, what's happening? You cannot run the race because it is with you. It becomes much more heavier and heavier, my friend. It becomes a struggle. You'll be just struggling in your walk with God because you're still holding on to the past. And that's what I think the writer is trying to tell us. At the same time, he says, you know, F.F. Bruce, a great writer, says about this, right? And lastly, he says, repent of the sin, you know, the sin, that particular sin. As I told you, the weights are good, but it can hinder you, right? There might not be sin, but it can be a hindrance. But then he also talks about another one. He uses, if you look at the word very carefully, he uses the word, the sin. Look at the word, the sin. It's a definite article in the Greek text. In other words, what is that particular sin that is holding you back from building your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What is that particular sin that's holding you back? And that's what, you know, the writer is saying here. And so, if you want to build your faith, you need to identify that particular sin. It might be small, but it hinders your growth. It hinders your Christian life. It hinders your race, my friend. It's a sin which is, in other words, it's not acceptable by God. The weights are wonderful. They will be good. But if there is no limit, it becomes a hindrance to our perseverance, to our journey, to our race of life. So in other words, Paul, the writer, is saying, build your faith. Therefore, build your faith. Right? Remember, remove. If certain things are a hindrance, you need to start thinking about it. Let me tell you, sometimes eating can also be a hindrance. That's why the Bible talks about gluttony, right? Sports are wonderful, but they can also be a hindrance. Because some of the broadcast, live broadcast, is the time when you are worshiping God. And so what happens, you know, it's okay, you know, every week I'm there, but this week I'm not going to be here because what's happening? I want to see cricket match. I'm going to watch the ice hockey right? Or whatever games we are fond of. I'm fond of soccer. So what's happening, you know, it becomes. So Paul, the writer says, be careful. Be careful, right? Build your faith. Secondly, in verse 2, if you look at, he says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, I was asking myself, you know, why is the writer saying, you know, we need to, you know, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? Earlier he said we are, you know, the cloud of witnesses and all that. You know, one of the reason is, I think if you look at Paul's, this particular, I'm sorry, you know, if I use the word Paul, probably I'm used to saying this word Paul, right? One of the thing, you know, the writer, he's trying to say, you know, that, you know, Jesus is the focus, right? In other words, we can be caught up like, you know what to do? You know, Moses also did the same sin, so I'm also doing the same sin. Abel did this, or Enoch did this, you know, David did this, you know, and so what's the difference between me and this guy in the Bible? And that's why he says, keep your focus on Christ. Yes, there are good lessons, you learn about them, but whatever it is, it's about Jesus. How do you see Christ in them? That's what he's trying to tell us. Because it's human tendency, he said, you know, if Moses did this, you know, I'm no different than Moses. If Abraham did that, you know, I'm no different than Abraham. If David did that, I'm no different than David. That's why the writer says, keep your focus on Jesus. Consider Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because if not, we will be like Moses. We will be like David. We will be like Abel. See the Christ in them. See the Jesus in them. See the God in them, my friend. And so he says, keep your eyes on Jesus because he is the star. In other words, he's the founder, right? He's the author, and he is the one, the perfecter of our faith, right? He is the perfecter of our faith. He's the one. In other words, you know, it's about Jesus. You know, he's the one who can show you through his life, through his work, right? He is the pioneer. He is the author. And Jesus is the answer, my friend. You know, today you go to bookshops, right? By the way, let me tell you, you know, when one of my confession is when I go to bookshops, I always go to this section, which is called the self-help, right? Because we want to help ourselves. We want to be a good pastor, right? We want to be a good person, right? We want to be a good in this, we want to be good, that it's wonderful. I'm not saying it's, but whatever it is, right, my faith, there are good things I'll read from there, but no, my faith is based on the life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus is the thing. Jesus is the primary. And lastly, he also says, Jesus is the end. In other words, the perfecter and completer. The word very carefully, I like to do word studies, and one of the words I realized, you know, this was the same word, the author and the finisher of our faith, it's the same word that Jesus used, it is finished. In other words, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm Lord, I'm finished. In other words, Jesus is just saying, I've completed a lot, everything, it's complete, right? It's been done the way it needs to be done. Right? And so he's the only one who can actually perfect our life. He's the only one who can perfect our journey, my friend. It is not to say, Lord, I've completed my journey. Jesus did not mean like that. It means, Lord, I perfected it. This is the best way, and I've did it best. This is the right way, and I've did it. You know, we don't need another Jesus. We don't need another person to die on the cross for us. Everything is complete through Jesus. And that's why, to persevere, keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me tell you, you know, and in my pastoral life, some people have actually left the church. One of the reasons is when you start looking at people, right? Let me tell you, when you look at fellow Christians, there are moments you become disappointed or even discouraged. Or it can be very depressing. Right? Can Christians do that? Come on, he is a leader in the church. Right? I think that's why the writer is trying to tell us, keep your focus on Jesus. There are good examples we need to be looking at. I'm not saying no. But many a times we can be discouraged when we look at another Christian brother or sister. Let me tell you, because they are still living in the flesh. They have their limitations, their weakness. But what is a good thing that you learn about them? But more than that, keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. Because Christianity is not about people, my friend. It's about Jesus. It's consider Jesus. Let me finish with this last point. And guard your weariness. In other words, you know, you might be, you know, one of the things, when you run the race, you get tired. That's why we have isotonic drinks, energy drinks, and all that. Why? To give you a boost, right? To give you some kind of stamina at the end. You know, it says, guard against your weariness, right? It says, consider Jesus. In other words, he's saying, you know, consider his greatness, right? And then, you know, as I said, you know, Jesus and others. Then last, you know, he uses the word this, you know, which I like very much, you know, the way the writer is saying, do not grow weary or lose heart. In other words, he's saying, in certain versions he says, you know, have a strong mind. Be strong-minded. I was asking myself, why? He should say, you know, be strong physically. But why is he saying be strong-minded? Don't lose heart, be strong. Because when you look at the race of life, by the way, when I was in school, I do run. There are times that you don't have the energy. Your body doesn't have the energy at all. And they say, now it's the mind game. No more the body game, because the body doesn't have the energy. The body says, I cannot. Now it's the mind game. If the mind says, you can, my friend. That's why if you see athletes running, you know, they're exhausted. It is almost like they're giving up. But now the mind says, you got another 10 more meters to go or 50 more meters to go. The mind takes control, right? And that's why he says, be strong-minded. Be strong-minded. Look at the words very carefully. If you look at Deuteronomy, you know, if you look at these two versions, if we do a comparative study in Deuteronomy 6:5, use the Hebrew Bible says about, it's about might. But when Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, he says, mind. Why the difference? Right? When I was looking at it, I realized, you know, what's happening here. The mind controls the might. Right? The mind controls the might. If your mind says you cannot, my friend. Yes, there are moments our body will say no, but our mind comes in and says you can. Persevere. Run. Let me tell you, you will get tired. You might get weary. You might say, you know, Pastor, you know, I cannot run. I don't have the energy. It's too much. But remember, yes, our body will give up. We might not have the energy. If our mind says, you know, I'm going to, because I have another 10 more meters to go, we will still go. And so three things, as I mentioned to you today, right? Build your faith. Look at the great examples in the scriptures, right? Read about how these people ran their race in the midst of struggles and obstacles and challenges that they had. Keep your focus. I'm not saying don't look at another person, because whatever it is, all of us are fallen nature, my friend. We do sin, we fall, right? Sometimes certain negative things takes control over us or runs beyond us. Yes, there are good things that we can learn from another Christian, but they are not the Christ. Keep your focus on Christ. Look at Christ, the author and the perfecter. It's only Jesus who is the perfect person, my friend, who can make things perfect for our life, for our journey. And lastly, you know, guard against weariness, right? You might get tired, lethargic, fatigue. Or it might become routine, right? Every Sunday become routine. You might feel like giving up. You must have the mind and say, no, Lord, I want. I want. I wanted to actually share a story with you, but I thought, you know, maybe I'll do it another time. Let me challenge you, right? Run the race and stay in your lane. Let's pray. Very soon we'll be done with this year. I know all of us, including myself, we've been running our race. I just want you to take a moment to look back and to ask or even to see how well we have run the race. How well I have run my race that has been given to me. Can I say I'm happy, I'm contented, I progressed, I built my faith, I've kept my focus on Jesus. Yes, there were moments of discouragement, but I kept looking at Jesus. The times that I wanted to give up, but I told, I've given up my life for Christ. Lord, I want to be strong-minded. How well have we been running the race? What is pulling us back, my friend? There might be good things in our life, right? They might be good, but they can become a hindrance. If they're a hindrance, then we need to lay it aside. What is stopping us? It might not be a sin, but distracts us. It takes much of our time. Energy. It might be social media, it might be music, or it might be even sports. And what is that particular sin we've been struggling with that's holding us back? Father, we thank you, Lord, because we are not running this race alone, Father. We thank you for the great examples that you have given through the scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for people in our church, our brothers and sisters of God. They too are great examples for us. But Lord, we pray that every moment of God, help us to see the Jesus in them. And help us, Lord, to see you. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.